Welcome to the podcast from Trinity United Methodist Church in Ruston, Louisiana. Our prayer is that God uses this time to speak specifically to you, regardless of where you are on your faith journey. We'd also like to invite you to worship with us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:45, either in person or online at www.trinityruston.org. Thanks for listening.
Today is the first in a series of four sermons that I'm doing the next few weeks on becoming a spiritually mature church. The next few weeks, we're going to be looking at some of the things that we can do, some of the steps that we can take to encourage and cultivate our growth in Jesus Christ. You know, spiritual maturity is something, as I explained earlier in the children's sermon, that God desires for us. God wants all of us to become spiritually mature or to grow in God's grace. And so the next few weeks, I want us to look at some of the steps we can take to help cultivate that spiritual growth, that spiritual maturity. Today, though, we're going to look at three imperatives that are necessary for us to have if we're to grow in spiritual maturity in Christ. And, you know, as I said, God desires for all of us to grow spiritually. And, you know, John Wesley had a word for that. He called it sanctification. Paul once said that we should work at working out our own salvation. We should be working at that each and every day. And I have to confess, I struggle with this every day. For me, that struggle comes in the terms of managing my anxiety and not being so reactive, as some of our staff will tell you. Sometimes I have a tendency to do that, and I have to work on myself every day. But all of us do. You see, growth in Christ doesn't stop when we're baptized. We should be growing in grace each and every day. We should be growing into spiritual maturity. And so that's what I want us to talk about today. John Wesley described this as sanctification, that is, the work of the Holy Spirit in us. He also described it as real change, that when God's Holy Spirit works in our lives, we really change and we become more and more like Jesus Christ, taking on Christ's personality, Christ's temperaments, and Christ's attributes. So today I want us to look at those three imperatives that are necessary if we would grow into spiritual maturity. But before we do so, let's join together in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Warren Wiersbe is a pastor and well-known Bible teacher. He once made this incredible statement. After 40 years of ministry, I'm convinced that spiritual immaturity is the number one problem in our churches. I'm convinced that spiritual immaturity is the number one problem in our churches. You know, there's a story told about a little boy who fell out of bed in the middle of the night. When his mother rushed in and asked what had happened, the little boy said, "I don't know. I guess I stayed too close to where I got in. I don't know. I guess I stayed too close to where I got in." You know, too many Christians do that with their faith. For most of their Christian life, they stay too close to where they got in. We have too many people today who are the same place in their spiritual maturity as they were 20, 30, 40, or even 50 years ago. I take it an even a step further than Dr. Wiersbe did and say that the second greatest problem in the church today is having spiritually immature people in places of leadership. You see, God wants us to grow up. Our Heavenly Father's goal is for us to mature and to become more like Jesus every day. The sad truth, though, is that there are millions of Christians who grow older, but they never grow up. Growth is the goal of the Christian life. Maturity is mandatory for every child of God. You see, we're either growing or we're dying. And if we're the same Christian today that we were a year ago, then we're not the Christian that we ought to be. So this morning, I want to share with you three imperatives that we need to keep in mind if we would grow in our spiritual maturity. And as usual, let me remind you, if you'd like to follow along, there is a PowerPoint presentation for your convenience. It's to my right. and to the left side of your screen. I invite you to follow along, take notes. Consider how many of these imperatives are present in your life. So let's begin with the first imperative. First of all, we must desire spiritual maturity. First of all, we must desire spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity doesn't just happen. We have to want it. We have to desire it. There's an intentionality about it. We have too many churches today that are filled with baby Christians. They're people who spiritually are still in the nursery. Now, that's a fitting description because the one characteristic of a baby that's most descriptive is selfishness. Babies are completely self-centered. If they don't get what they want when they want it, what do? Well, they cry. Whose needs do they care about? Their own. Whenever you give them what they want, do they ever thank you? No. Do they ever try to help anybody? Do they ever give anything other than what they deposit in their diaper? No, not at all. All a little baby does is take. And all a little baby cares about is himself. You know, tragically, there are many churches that are filled with people who haven't made the commitment to grow. And they attend church all of their lives as spiritual babies. You see, an active member is not necessarily a mature member. Let me repeat that. An active member is not necessarily a mature member. Now, it took me a while to recognize that as a pastor. I'm a little slow, but I usually get there. But just because the church doors are open, and there are some people that are there every time they're open, that doesn't mean that those folks are necessarily spiritually mature. Just because they serve on a committee, or they sing in the choir, or they give a lot of money, or spend a lot of time at the church, or involved in many mission projects, that doesn't necessarily mean that they are spiritually mature. You know, sometimes I think in the church that when we're trying to select people to serve positions of leadership, that instead of looking for the most spiritually mature people, I think sometimes we look or assign in those positions people who are either the most demanding or the loudest. And that doesn't always work very well. Let me share with you an example. Many years ago, I knew a lady who had a teenage son who was in high school. And it seems that her son was always getting into trouble. He was suspended from high school several times. He got in trouble with the police a few times. In fact, one time, and this is literally true, he nearly burned down a suburban neighborhood. He set a grass fire. And when I asked him why he did that, he said, well, I just wanted to see what would happen. So his mother decided that what he needed was more responsibility. So she decided that if she gave him more responsibility, that maybe he would become more responsible and he would become more mature. So what she decided was that she would buy him a new car under the condition that he would go through driver's ed and get his license. Well, as you can imagine, he did that as quickly as he could because he wanted a new car. And she had hoped that with the responsibilities of ownership of a car and of maintaining a car and driving safely, that James would grow in his maturity and that he would become more responsible. Well, let me ask you, how do you think that worked? Well, it didn't work very well because after about 2 or 3 months, James wrecked the car. It was a total loss. And fortunately, he didn't kill or injure himself or anyone else. But that experiment in responsibility was a failure. And I think sometimes in the church, we make the same mistake. We hope that when we assign people places of leadership, that maybe they'll grow into that position. Maybe they'll grow in responsibility. And you know, that usually doesn't have a good ending. The truth of the matter is that spiritual maturity is intentional. It's intentional. It doesn't just happen. We have to want it. We have to desire it. And it requires commitment, effort, determination, and work. Let me illustrate that for you. A young man once came to the great teacher Socrates and asked, Socrates, will you be my teacher? Will you be my teacher? Socrates told the young man to follow him, and he turned and walked into the ocean. The young man followed him, walking into the sea, And they continued walking into the water until the water was just up to their lips. Then Socrates turned around, put his hand on the young man's head, and pushed his head under the water, holding him there. Now the young man, wishing to be compliant, stayed there for a while. But soon he began to spit and sputter, and he began to thrash about trying to get air. All the while, Socrates held his head under the water. Until finally, he was blowing bubbles and thrashing about as wildly as he possibly could. And then Socrates took his hands off the young man's head. And the young man bobbed up to the surface. And he was gasping for air, spewing water out of his mouth. He turned to Socrates and said, "Why did you do that? Why did you do that?" Socrates turned to him and said, "When you want to learn as much as you want to breathe, then I'll be your teacher." You see, when we really begin to crave spiritual growth as a baby craves milk, then we'll really begin to grow and mature in our Lord Jesus Christ. So, the first imperative for spiritual maturity is that we desire to become spiritually mature. And that brings us to the second imperative. Second, we must develop spiritual maturity. We must develop spiritual maturity. Now, it's not enough to just desire to be spiritually mature. We have to work to develop spiritual maturity in our lives. And you know, if spiritual maturity is going to be a priority in our lives, then Bible study must be a priority. You see, we can't read the newspaper an hour a day, watch television for 3 hours, read the Bible for 3 minutes, and expect to grow. It doesn't work that way. Do you realize that if we read the Bible for just 15 minutes a day, we'll read through the entire Bible in just 1 year? And you know, if we'll set aside that 30-minute television program or video that we like to watch every day and read the Bible instead, we'll read through the entire Bible twice a year. In reality, the Bible is God's manual for maturity. It's true. It's God's manual for maturity. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, we read these words, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Now, each one of these purposes is important. The Bible gives us doctrine so that we can know what's right. It gives us reproof so that we can know what's not right. It gives us correction to help us get right. And it gives us instruction so that we can stay right. Now, we could do a lot of things that will promote our growth in the Christian faith. But you know, if we don't take the time to study the Word of God, then we'll remain spiritual babies all of our lives. Don't think that we can just come to worship once a week, be spoon-fed for 20 minutes in a sermon, and that's all we need. Just as we must feed our physical bodies every day, so we must feed our souls with the meat of God's Word every day. So, the second imperative is development. We must work to develop spiritual maturity in our lives through studying the Word. And that brings us to the third and final imperative, and perhaps the most important. Third and finally, we must demonstrate spiritual maturity. Third and finally, we must demonstrate spiritual maturity. It's not enough to just study the Bible and learn about what spiritual maturity looks like. We have to apply the Bible to our daily lives. We have to live it out in our lives and demonstrate it through our relationships with others. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to this next statement. Spiritual maturity is demonstrated more by how we behave than by what we believe. Does that surprise you? Spiritual maturity is demonstrated more by how we behave than by what we believe. What we believe or say we believe really doesn't matter if we don't live what we believe. James reminds us, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show it by his good behavior." You see, I think sometimes we get the idea, if someone knows a lot about the Bible, then they must be spiritually mature. I've known Bible teachers who had a lot of head knowledge about the Bible, but that didn't mean that they were necessarily spiritually mature. In fact, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, that knowledge without love puffs up. Knowledge without love puffs up. Now, what does that mean? It means we can have all the knowledge in the world about the Bible, but if we don't have the love of Jesus residing in our lives and in our hearts, it does not mean a thing. You see, maturity is not how much we intellectually know about Jesus. It's how much we love Jesus and how clearly we show Jesus through our lives. That's why the real mark of maturity is obedience. James once said, "Do not deceive yourselves by just listening to the word. Instead, put it into practice." Real maturity is not just learning about what the Bible says, but applying it to the different circumstances in our lives. You see, whether we're preachers of the gospel or Bible teachers or group leaders or whatever we do, remember this: the objective of preaching and teaching is not just to impart knowledge, but it's to change lives. That's right, it's to change lives. I really think that the greatest and most true measure of a church and how effective it is in its ministry is how many lives are changed in that church. And I'm not just talking about people who come to know Christ and make a decision and commitment to follow him and to serve him. I'm also talking about Christians who have known Christ for years, who have attended the church for years, and yet are still at the same place. You see, we need to grow in our faith. We need to grow in our spiritual maturity. And spiritual maturity means that we grow each and every day. And any church that's going to be effective in its ministry is going to see that change in its members. They're going to see the members grow into spiritual maturity in Jesus Christ. You see, God's a lot more concerned about our character than our comfort. And the way we get to demonstrate spiritual maturity is through the various circumstances that come into our lives. Because every time something happens to us, good, bad, or ugly, that's an opportunity to respond in the way that God wants us to respond. And it's through this that God works character into us. You see, God wants us to be bigger on the inside than we are on the outside. Well, I want to close with this last illustration. Once there was a man who took his young daughter to a carnival, and she ran over to a booth and asked for some cotton candy. The attendant handed her a gigantic ball of cotton candy, and her dad said, "Sweetheart, are you sure you can eat all of that? Sweetheart, are you sure you can eat all of that?" The little girl responded, "Don't worry, Dad. I'm a lot bigger on the inside than I am on the outside." Well, that's what our Heavenly Father desires for us, that every day we grow bigger on the inside than on the outside. And you know, we do that by reading, receiving, remembering, and reproducing God's Word through our lives. So let me ask you, are you bigger on the inside than on the outside? Well, in conclusion, isn't it time that we grew up spiritually? If we would grow into spiritual maturity, then we must desire, develop, and demonstrate spiritual maturity in our lives. Whoever has the ears to hear, let that one hear what the Spirit says to the church. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Trinity Podcast. To find out more about Trinity, visit us online at www.trinityruston.org.